checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
All right, baby, around the 404, and we have a fight. Fight, fight, fight. No, it's not a girl fight. Us guys tend to get a little bit more excited when it's a girl fight. And the girls probably tend to get more excited when it's a guy fight. I don't know. Maybe do the girls get more excited when it's a girl fight, too?
Guy fights get a little more brutal. Girl fights, hair comes out.
I just, like us guys, like, it's a girl fight. Wow. Or as Mark Owens would clip off for me, ooh. But we have a fight right now. Kind of, sort of. Not really. Between Steve Sarkisian and Kurt Warner. So let's dive into the back and forth, the mano-a-mano. You've got a Hall of Famer, a quarterback, an analyst with NFL Network. We've had him on the show.
Yep.
Cool dude. I don't have a problem with Kurt Warner. But he called out Steve Sarkisian, and Steve Sarkisian called out back.
It was a bracket coverage. They were doubling number three on the right-hand side and number two on the left-hand side. It wasn't zone defense. I'm sorry to contradict Kurt Warner, but...
So that was Steve Sarkisian firing back where it started. Kurt Warner had tweeted out, the Eagles ran the same D on each of those last four snaps in the red zone. How the Atlanta Falcons didn't come up with a better play than those. They played seven across, needed to attack one zone with two guys. It's an easy TD. They kept sending guys to different zones. You beat a zone by overloading it. D-Led got involved in this. He said, Falcons OC Steve Sarkisian fired back. You just heard it. Said the Eagles weren't in a zone. Kurt Warner said, I'll be showing on game day morning this week. You can call it a combo zone with man principles, depending on who was running which route. But I will also show that it's not all on Sark. Kurt Warner also goes on to say this. He goes, I would fully agree that it wasn't just on Sarkisian and players have to catch the ball and throw it. He said, but the same play three times in a row with the same result isn't great coaching either. Plenty of blame to go around. Whose side are you on this? Or do you not pick a side? Do you think they both could be correct?
You know, you're hitting me where I live right now because I haven't really. I just like that Sark is in the crosshairs of a mini controversy.
Right.
I like it. And you could say, oh, why are you saying that, Cam? It's a distraction. He should be worried about game planning Carolina. You know what? This is a pressure business. Mm-hmm. And if you can't rise to the occasion and match the pressure and deal with the pressure, you get out. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this is like it turned up the heat on Sarkisian. The heat was already turned up on him. Mm-hmm. And now you've got national media, big time guys calling you out. You've got to like answer back. I like it because to me, hopefully Sarkisian is a super petty, snarky, competitive guy.
Right.
And it brings out the best in his game. And he's got his laminate in front of him, and he's, you know, in the Carolina game on the field at the Benz between 1 and 4 o'clock. And he's like, I'm being kind of cute here, but he's like, I'll show Kurt Warner. I'm going to dial up what Rick Kamla's been talking about all week. I'm going to dial up this jet sweep to Calvin Ridley and see if we can bamboozle the game. Anyway, I want creativity. I want new. I want fresh. I want a Shanny-ish game plan here from Sarkisian. And maybe getting called out by Kurt Warner is going to bring out the best in Steve Sarkisian.
I'll be honest. I don't care if they run the oop-de-oo. I don't care if they run the Wildcat. I don't care if they run the Statue of Liberty. Whatever works, just score some stinking points. I'm tired of being in the muck and the mire and grind out games that, you know, it's a struggle. You look at Cincinnati looked more fluid offensively last night. Cincinnati's personnel can't match up with Atlanta's personnel. Our quarterback's better. Our receiver is better than AJ. And AJ Green's really good. But our running backs are better. Like, what the heck is going on? Why we're struggling? And you watch a team like Cincinnati against a defense in Baltimore that's supposed to be pretty good.
Yep.
And they march up and down the field.
They did. Now, I do have to throw a shady stat at you and the masses here on the home of the Falcons. AJ Green had three touchdowns last night. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones had three touchdowns all of last year. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to throw out that shady stat. And to me, I've said it for years. I see a very nominal difference between AJ Green and Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to talk about super freak and all that, and the physicality of it and the specimen of it, it's Julio Jones all day.
Right.
But when you look at the back of the football card, whose stats would you rather have on your team? I would rather have AJ Green's stats because
I don't know about that.
Because he's way better in the touchdown category. I mean, way better in the touchdown category.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I'm sure he scored more touchdowns in his career than Julio, but Julio trumps him in just about everything else, including yards of catch and everything. Here's some potentially bad news, but not unexpected. D'Orlando Ledbetter just tweeted 13 minutes ago. Falcons rookie Ito Smith expected to back up Tevin Coleman versus Panthers. Freeman not expected to play.
Okay.
So not really a surprise, kind of what's been trending in
it's
that
a bummer,
direction.
But it's not a surprise.
Here's some good things, though. Falcons guard Andy Levitre is at practice. He was limited yesterday with a left elbow injury. Mm. And Brian Hill wearing the special teammate of the week jersey. He may be active on Sunday to back up both Smith and Coleman.
Why were we running Justin Crawford and Malik Williams in the preseason?
Maybe you thought they were going to make the team. Don't know.
Why? They weren't even close to making the team. Come on, man. Like, Ito needed to play. Now we need him mm-hmm. in a regular season game with bullets flying and the whole thing. And is he ready? I'd bet against it. I hope he's ready. I hope Tevin Coleman, mm-hmm. you need to carve up, my friend. And that what athletes do before a race or a big event or a big game? Don't they carve up?
Yeah, they know. Do.
I'm not a big time athlete.
Got to eat some pasta the night before.
Well, have a bunch of spaghetti and then have spaghetti and eggs. Tevin Coleman is going to have to shoulder the burden of 20 to 25 touches, mm-hmm. Whether it's 20 carries, 5 catches, or whatever it is. I don't trust Ito Smith. I didn't really like what I saw in the preseason. And again, you drafted Ito Smith over Shaquem Griffin, who's now a Seattle Seahawk. Didn't like that draft pick at the time. Went with the flow of it. Just kind of just swallowed. And Rick, just hold on to that take. Nobody wants to hear it. Mm-hmm. Well, now Ito Smith is going to be thrust into a contributing role. I hope that it goes well. I hope that it goes well. But if it doesn't, we're going to have a tough conversation on Monday.
So Julio Jones, A.J. Green, I believe came in the league the same year, 2011, just for comparison. Julio has 595 catches, A.J. Green 567. Julio has 9,223 yards, A.J. Green 8,374, almost 1,000 yards more. A.J. trumps him in touchdowns, 61-43.
Whoa!
Yeah, Julio trumps him in yards per game, 96.1-80.5.
Yeah, I'll give up 1,000 yards for 18 more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. AJ Green's had a better career than Julio Jones.
I wouldn't go that far.
How can you say that?
Touchdowns, not,
I mean, dude. It's 595-567. That's a tie basically, mm-hmm. and they're 900 yards difference.
That's almost an entire season worth.
So how many years they've been in the league? This is their ninth year.
Yep,
that's 100 yards a season, and I'm talking about 18 touchdowns different. Over 8, now into 9 years, mm-hmm. that's a difference of 2 touchdowns, 2-plus touchdowns per game. That's a bigger difference than 100 yards. I don't see how you can say that other than just being a Julio homer.
Well, Julio, again, 96 yards per game as opposed to 80.5.
I'll take those TDs, brother.
Okay. I'll take Julio Jones over A.J. Green. It's not a knock on A.J. Green. Had a great game last night. Had a tremendous football game last night as the Ravens were doing what the Ravens do.
You know, I like to push it and shove it. We got Triple G and Canelo tomorrow night at John's house. Mm. By the way, who's coming over as we go around the 404 here?
People, Mark, are you going to make it?
No. So who is I'm in.
You're in.
Tate is in. Who are the other probables for the show?
You know, my normal – Carnell's now no longer invited because
Uh-oh.
Of the voicemail earlier.
Uh-oh. No
he's
longer
out.
BFF?
Oh, no, he's out. So – that's two out of 3 weeks of handing off voicemail, so you're dead. You're dead to me.
Carnell, you're very much alive to the rest of us. So has he gone from BFF to WFF, as in worst friend ever?
No. He's going to, like, N-I-E. Not invited ever.
Oh! Carnell, did you hear that? It just got super shady up
he's
in here.
At work. I think he's working right now, so he doesn't hear. But it'll be my normal cast of characters, uh-huh. so, yeah. Else from the station?
Are we going to have a McMichael sighting?
Oh, yeah, Randy and his wife are coming.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're coming.
That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Charity last night, Charity, I'm going over to John. I'd love you to come. They would love for you to come. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what time? I go, late night. Maybe the fight's about mid. She goes, it's not a no. It's a hell no. And John, she loves you guys, but mm-hmm. that's just too late for her.
Really?
Yeah. She's on a different clock now.
Okay.
She's on sort of the octogenarian clock. where you wake up at the butt crack of you know what.
Octogenarian's like an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, she eat dinner at 3:35.
She likes to go to Golden Corral at about 4 for dinner. That's what she likes to do.
The early bird special for like $4.95.
By the way, for most of my life, For most of my life, I slept on Golden Corral. I'll be honest, I did. I was just like, I didn't like dislike it, or I just slept on it. Well, Charity has taken me to Golden Corral a couple of times on 124 over there. I really like Golden Corral. I don't know if you guys have been there. I think it's fantastic.
I spent way too much time on college baseball road trips. You know, the coach has to supply food for the team. They would find places where we could eat a lot. We ate at Golden Corral way too much. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. But
I just ate there for 4 years of college baseball and basketball. Like literally 3 out of every 4 road trips, we stopped at Golden Corral.
Yeah, I've had Golden Corral MO, I don't know, 5 times in my life. Mm-hmm. Literally like 5 times in my life. And probably 4 of them are in the last several months. You guys Golden Corral guys? You guys like Golden Corral?
Haven't been in 20 years.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Now, we used to love to go when Golden Corral, Paul, would have the all-you-could-eat crab legs. Oh, they hated seeing us. They'd bring out a tray, and we'd take a tray. Golden Corral, your spot?
No.
Okay.
Like, have you been there and just said it's not for me,
or
are you just kind of sleeping on
You've
it?
You've never been
I've
there?
Never been
it's actually pretty good.
You guys, look, if you said you haven't been there in 20 years, you've never been there, I'm just saying go one time. Bring the kids, bring the fam. If you don't like it, never go back.
My wife is just not a buffet person. Like, she doesn't like buffets, period. Like, even at the resorts, she doesn't particularly care for eating off the buffet. For me, I'm like, dude, they got shrimp and crab, and I can take as much as I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. And I don't pay extra to get more on my plate.
I don't know. They got clam chowder over there. They got everything. They got nachos. They got pizza. They got ribs. I don't know. I like
that
some Golden Corral.
That is the most cockamamie combination.
Oh, you should
nachos,
see my plate.
Hold on. Nachos, clam chowder, pizza, and ribs.
And popcorn shrimp.
Don't forget the popcorn shrimp. The popcorn shrimp is worth it. And the Salisbury steak.
You lost me there.
Mark, you're a country dude. I know you love Salisbury
steak. Yeah, you lost
steak.
Me there.
Oh, yeah. Put some gravy on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you're having a great day, what you can do is put 2 pieces of Texas toast in between it.
Yes.
Salisbury steak sandwich. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
What do you mean if you're having a great day? What was that all about?
When you're having a, you know what? I got my stretchy pants on today. ain't walking out till the front of the waistband's rolled over. Let's go.
I was going to say, I have my stretchy pants on every day. By the way,
me too.
Knox was supposed to come back here. I told him I'd buy him lunch if he went and got me lunch from downstairs. I haven't seen him. I'm sure there's somebody out there that'll take this offer.
He's trying to beat somebody in fantasy baseball. Although, did he get the other bye?
Yeah, he got the bye. Banged me out of the bye week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's down to the nitty-gritty in our fantasy baseball fantasy league that Grant McCauley puts on. Me and Knox got first-round byes. Mm-hmm. John, you're battling who right now?
Envy from downstairs.
Envy, who I just beat finally in the final game of the regular season. Like, it was a nice feather in my cap after he beat me and then we tied. And then what's the other game? It's
Sure.
Let's see.
It's Grant against somebody.
And Brian Gebhardt.
Yeah, Brian Gebhardt.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a showdown? That was for Mark Owens right there. I know. There's too many oohs going on here.
That's a lot of oohing. Hey, by the way, a couple of college football games tonight. Georgia State at Memphis. You know, you hope the Panthers can go out there and put a good game up. But Memphis is a team that just loads up with points.
Is that an ESPN joint?
It is the ESPN 7 o'clock game.
On the Deuce or ESPN?
No, on the Uno.
Georgia State
is on the.
And we're the home of Georgia State
they
football.
Are.
You're telling me that Georgia State is on ESPN like 206 on DirecTV?
That would be correct.
Whoa. That's awesome. Or should I go, ooh?
No, we just got a Joey Lawrence, whoa.
Whoa. Or a Keanu O'Neal, whoa.
Whoa.
Anyway, dude, what a good look, man. Memphis is kind of crappy this year, aren't they?
And yeah, they still score a lot of points.
I want to say that Memphis isn't quite like the team. Think about it. Last year they had my guy Anthony Miller, an absolute beast rock star who's
and
now
Riley
with the Bears. Yeah, well, what Paxton Lynch told me everything I need to know about a Memphis quarterback. I will never, ever buy the hype on a Memphis quarterback again. I think I was a first-round pick. Does Paxton Lynch even have a job in the NFL right now?
I don't think so, but we just got a challenge via Twitter for the four of us. So if we can all four get together and go out for a night at boozing like we did at Mark's birthday.
That was great.
Then we go to Golden Corral and eat 2 full plates of food.
Uh-huh.
Who has to use the bathroom first loses? Maybe we put like
me.
$40 in the pot.
It's going
to
be me.
I got a wiggly stomach, so.
I'm super, super regular.
Yeah, we know. 9:30 to 9:55 every morning.
So we show up at the Golden Corral half lit?
Yeah.
I'm eating handfuls of chocolate pudding. It was amazing. Look, I put some white gravy on the chocolate pudding. It's fantastic. I'm good. I've got a strong stomach.
I like that challenge.
I'm game.
The night after, I am very regular.
Now, the next morning is a whole other story. Next morning's leave me alone, make sure my phone is charged. Don't come see me for another 2 hours.
See, here's the interesting part for tomorrow. Tonight is one of my wife's good friend's birthday, so we're all supposed to go out tonight, which means I may get a little intoxicated this evening. I'm going to be woozy at some point
tomorrow.
You're
going to be a little green tomorrow, Jeff?
Yeah, maybe.
A green? You're going to need an afternoon nap. By the way, Paxton Lynch, for those who care, he does not have a team. He recently worked out for the Eagles. So, I mean, first-round pick already out of the L.
Hey, don't forget, you can join 92.9 The Game and celebrate the return of Falcons football today at the Falcons Friday kickoff rally. It's free and open to all fans. Party begins at 7:30 at Atlantic Station. More info on the event page at 92.9thegame.com. When we get back, it's the NFL Bounce. We'll get into all things around the league, including who's in and who's out on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Out in the NFL Bounce. If you're just joining us, where have you been? You're missing out on a party. Head right over there to the Keg. Get yourself a red Solo cup, mm-hmm. Pour yourself a beer, and let's get it on, okay? Rick and John here throwing our midday party right around the corner. It's Fantasy Football Friday.
Foo.
And the Preacher Man will come up next with From the Bible. But we got games to talk about. We have Hall of Fame candidates to talk about. And we have a Devontae Freeman injury to talk about. Devontae Freeman and... John, I'm salty, dude. You lose Neal. You lose Jones. Mm-hmm. And now we're without Freeman. And here's the thing. Didn't we hear, like, right after the Philly game, he's fine?
Yeah.
He's fine. Like, you...
What coaches do.
I know. Protecting the player and the whole thing. But when you follow a coach and his every move and every whim over a three-plus year stretch into season four right here, it's going to tell me, John, going forward, mm-hmm. that when a player – and by the way, didn't they say that Deion Jones was fine? Cramps and fine?
Yeah, I mean, he finished the game. Devontae didn't. That was the only difference of those two.
Mm-hmm. But weren't we all completely blindsided by the Deion Jones news?
Yeah, I didn't know it was a foot injury.
Like, completely blindsided. Mm-hmm. And that's not on the Falcons regime, but they hid that injury pretty well, didn't mm-hmm. they? So I'm just saying, like – I develop an injury book on players, and I develop an injury book on the bosses of these teams. And so when I hear, hopefully there's no more injuries, but if there is, and I hear about an injury that, oh, he's fine, I'm not just going to take that at its word. I did on Freeman.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I did on Deion Jones thinking, oh, it's just cramps. He'll be fine. He'll play against Carroll. I was wrong. So that's where I'm at. But, dude, without Freeman, Tevin Coleman has to have, what, his best game as a Falcon?
Or pretty close to it.
You know, is there a more important game for Tevin Coleman? Like, in terms of the Super Bowl, right, but you had Freeman, I'm saying, like, Tevin, it's on you, bro, mm-hmm. To bring that balance you were without Neal, we're without Jones. Our offense needs an uptick. We just lost our highest-paid running back. To me, this is right up there with the most important games Tevin Coleman will ever play.
It is, and it's a game you have to win, and now you're looking at, and just if you're kind of getting in the car or whatnot, D-Led had tweeted earlier, Ito Smith would back up Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman not expected to play, although Andy Levitre, who I guess was banged up yesterday, was back at practice today. From the flip side, Trey Turner was still out of practice today, I believe, for the Carolina Panthers. So, they're talking about the entire right side of their offensive line being different than it was in week number one because their guard and their tackle are out. And I've said all along, Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, Grady Jarrett, it's time to eat. I need you guys, and Grady played a good game against Philly, and Tack had a sack. I need like four or five sacks this week out of this group. I need these guys living in the backfield and making life difficult for Cam Newton.
I totally agree. The problem with that number is Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
He is so hard to sack, man.
He is
so hard to sack. Big, strong dude, but he's elusive, and he's competitive, you know what I mean? So he'll give you that extra effort. He'll wiggle out of a sack and just make it really hard. So, John, I like that sack number, but what I want are pressures and hurries and hits.
Sure.
And so even if we can't quite get there to get the sack, at least he's bothered. At least he's not in his comfort zone. That for sure needs to happen.
It does, and it's a situation against Carolina. You'd like to get them to play from behind. I thought the same thing with Philly. If you can get up a score or two and get them out of their comfort zone, they're not an offense that really thrives on playing from behind because they'd like to run it. I've heard Arch say this 1,000 times. They like to plot it. They like to play at their pace. You know, especially without a Greg Olsen as a big play tight end down the middle of the field, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey first, second, third, fifth, seventh, and tenth down. He's going to get a lot of touches this week.
Can't wait, man. Falcons and Carolina Panthers. It'll be on right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Falcons. 1 o'clock, and John's going to be on the field. Wes and Dave upstairs with the call. Last night, Andy Dalton was not a choke artist, mm-hmm. although he did miss throws in the second half that kind of contributed to Baltimore getting back into the game. But he threw 4 TDs last night, 3 to A.J. Green. So the first touchdown to A.J. Green happens, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I start checking all my leagues, and I'm like, not playing him here, not playing him here, not playing him here.
That takes a lot of checking, too.
It does. I'm in 7 leagues. And I did not play against A.J. Green in 1 fantasy football league last night. Now, if you did, I'm sorry. Condolences. You probably will not win your game this week.
I actually have him in one of my leagues.
You're looking good. But A.J. Green tilted the machine last night, had 3 touchdowns in the first 17 minutes of the ball game. And Joe Flacco did not play real well last night. And to me, John, the door is cracked for Lamar Jackson. They're like, no benching is coming here. But what I saw from Flacco last night, that wasn't good enough for John Harbaugh and the Ravens.
In the Falcons Fantasy League, we're going against John Brown or whoever the Brown is that plays for the Ravens. He had a touchdown.
Yep. Great catch, by the way. What a throw by Flacco. Put it right over the shoulder pad of the Bengal defender on the side of the end zone. It reminded me of the Josh Gordon touchdown on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers to tie up that game.
We got 12 points out of Alex Collins, who is underachieving so far this year.
Here's the problem. He's underachieving in terms of usage. Mm-hmm. He is not quite the bell cow back that I thought he was going to be. Buck Allen, the old SEC back, Javorius Allen, is getting a ton of work. And he's getting the buzzkill, Johnny.
What are you, a USC guy?
Yeah. He's getting a ton of work on first and second down. And vulture to goal line touchdown from Alex Collins last night. So there's nothing wrong with Alex Collins. He's still running well, still catching the ball well. Scored in week 1 against Buffalo. Should have scored last night. But it's more of a split backfield than I thought it was going to be, and it's kind of a bummer, to be honest.
Yeah, and Kenneth Dixon, a guy that was out, he got carries in week 1 for them. But what you saw last night is this is where Thursday night on the road, short week, it normally doesn't play well for the road team, and it didn't play well. It looked like the Ravens, it took them a half to wake up, and by then Cincinnati was up 28-7 and really rolling.
So you tell me, I want to break this down, but I want to hear you first because I'm curious. Will Fuller, the star receiver out of Notre Dame, is expected to play. Missed last week with a hammy. And we can call him Will Soft Tissue Fuller. Okay, we can call him that. We can also call him Will 4-2 Speed Fuller. We can also call him 7 touchdowns in 4 games with Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller. So if he's back this week, tell me your take on what it does to the Texans.
For me, it's more on Deshaun Watson. He looked rusty in week 1. And granted, Tennessee's not as good as New England is, but he's got to get back to having that comfort level more than the weapons around him because he looked tentative in the pocket. He looked tentative. He wasn't running the football like he was. I think that was one that was in Deshaun Watson's head. Will Fuller obviously adds another dimension to their offense. But Lamar Miller had a good game last week. D-Hop had a pretty decent game. I mean, for him, it was like 8 and 80 yards. Not the big play that you're normally used to out of Nuke. But I need Deshaun Watson to be better. He's the guy that you got to circle for Houston more than anybody that's got to play the game.
I don't disagree with that. So Deshaun Watson, last week, it was extended preseason. Mm-hmm. And in Foxborough against the Patriots, it was a perfect storm for a crappy game. And that's exactly what happened. But he got better, more comfortable, more productive in the second half. And think about what he had to throw to last week. You had DeAndre Hopkins, Bruce Ellington, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who their tight end is, John?
Jed Blazevich, I think.
They don't have a well-defined tight end at all.
When in doubt, go Blazevich.
And Braxton Miller, of course, has been cut. So this is going to give him bookends to throw to in terms of Will Fuller and Nuke Hopkins. Nuke Hopkins is not a deep ball receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like A.J. Green, slants and you know, intermediate stuff, and now you've got the guy to take the lid off the defense. So that's why I'm taking the Texans -2.5 at Tennessee.
Hey, Big Ben is in doubt for week 2. He missed practice yesterday. You mentioned yesterday, though, he was a guy that you have to chop a leg off, maybe you sever an arm, an artery or something to keep him out of a game, but he did not practice yesterday.
You need a shotgun, a tank, and an army to keep Ben out of a game. Here's the concern. I'm not concerned about him playing or not. I'm concerned about how good he is. He sucked last week. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you think that practicing would be kind of important for a guy that had five turnovers last week and just missed a lot of passes?
Not when it's Ben Roethlisberger. I think health, and I do buy into what Nate Burleson said. Not having the comfort level of having Le'Veon Bell as your check down guy. And Connor played great, but there was that chemistry with Le'Veon Bell, and I think that played into it. He did force a lot of footballs down the field.
This, I'm glad we're on this game. And by the way, I don't know if a lot of you have this decision. I do. Do you play Ben Roethlisberger at home against the Chiefs, which is probably going to be his best matchup of the year? The Chiefs' secondary is awful, and it's without Eric Berry, and they can't pressure the quarterback. So this defense is ripe for the picking. By the way, the L.A. Chargers left about 15 points on the table last week with drop balls. Tyrell Williams dropped a touchdown pass. Travis Benjamin dropped a touchdown pass. Kansas City's defense is awful. It's rotten. But you have Patrick Mahomes coming off his huge game. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's defense isn't, like, shut down good. So, hell of a decision there. But if you've got Big Ben, giddy up. I'm playing him.
Hey, elsewhere, the Seahawks make a move. They lose linebacker depth, and they go sign Michael Kendricks. Remember the guy that got cut by the Browns dealing with insider trading? He did, I guess, plead guilty, Paul, and is facing 33 to 37 months in prison.
Mm.
This is a question I have. And the Seahawks are doing it because it's a one-year, I think it's just a one-off. Deion Jones is out. Michael Kendricks is a guy that was tied to the Falcons. Are you a little salty they didn't at least kick the tires knowing that he still could go to prison?
No, I'm not. It's the most Seahawks thing ever. The Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Patriots, they will deal with just hardcore felons if they think it'll help them on Sunday. It's the most Seahawks move ever, to be honest with you. Quickly, let's talk about Hall of Fame candidates. They were announced for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Former Falcon, Tony Gonzalez. Former Dog, Champ Bailey. Mm-hmm. Former Hurricane,
Ed Reed.
Uh-huh. He's getting in, by the way. London Fletcher. They're the first-year eligible guys. London Fletcher's going to have to wait a long time. The 2018 finalists who fell just short, John, Edger and James.
Should be in.
Can we get him in? Can we get Isaac Bruce in one of these
finally years?
Tony Boselli, John Lynch, Ty Law, some other big names and coaches who could get in. Bill Cowher, Mike Holmgren, Jimmy Johnson, and Dick Vermeil.
Tony Gonzalez, first ballot lock. Ed Reed, a first ballot lock. I think Champ Bailey waits a year or two, although he will get in. I tend to agree with you with what you say there. Hey, this hour of the program brought to you by Inspire Medical Systems. Don't forget you can join 92.9 The Game at Twin Peaks and Buckhead as Dukes and Bell go to broadcast live 2 to 7. Plus, try the new Dukes and Bell Heyman Ale on draft and see the can design that'll soon be available in local package stores. From the Bible, coming up next.
All right, I don't know if y'all saw this earlier this week, but an MLB pitcher played pinball.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not only is it hallelujah for the Preacher Man segment, it's hallelujah for what's coming up right around the corner. It's Fantasy Football Friday.
Boo!
Boo! Leonard Fournette, by the way, we didn't talk about him in the NFL bounce. He has missed all three practices this week and is trending in the wrong way for that showdown, Patriots and Jags, on Sunday afternoon.
Preacher Man, let's roll with From the Bible.
All right, speaking of rolling, apparently Adrian Broner was rolling in an Uber, and apparently he is now banned from Uber for life.
Oh, no.
He didn't grope anybody, did he?
No, he apparently terrorized his Uber driver. The boxer captured his out-of-control ride on his own social media account earlier this week, trying to turn up from the back seat when Drake and Travis Scott's hit Sicko Mode started playing. Apparently, Broner leaned over and unleashed a full-throated scream right into the driver's face before grabbing the volume knob and turning it to the max.
It's not funny.
Then he started wildly dancing while the driver tried to focus on driving in the rain. Finally, the driver had enough, slammed on the brakes, pulled the car over, and told everybody to get the blank out. Well, he didn't say blank, but get out. A rep for Uber says the company looked into the incident and decided Broner's behavior was unacceptable and his access to the app has been revoked.
Now, we have all had turn-up moments in our own cars or in a friend's car where music comes on and we're just dancing and we're doing whatever. You're a stranger driving, you know, a bunch of other people in your car and you have this mental patient scream in your ear. It's Drake and Travis Scott! That's probably how it went down.
Adrian Broner,
yeah,
that's
boxer,
his name.
The former boxer.
Okay,
current boxer.
How wasted was he? And that to scream in the ear about a song that he probably heard three or four times earlier that day, you know, the way they play the hits like that. Preach Man, here's the deal. In terms of me turning up in an Uber, no. What I do is take an Uber someplace to drink my face off, and then I basically pass out on the ride home, all right? So I usually wake up, and I'm like, hey, there's my house. And that's how I turn up in an Uber, okay?
I've seen you in an Uber before.
And by the way, the road soda is very much in play.
On the way to
John's on Saturday night, road soda, because you can't road soda if you're driving, obviously. So you road soda in the Uber.
I'm trying to watch this video right now to see, and there's no volume attached to it to see how crazy he gets. He's literally recording the whole thing. Now he's leaning up. He just turned the volume up all the way. This poor old guy that's driving the car. It's not funny, but it is funny. Oh, no. Like, there's a bunch of people in the back seat, and they're going crazy. Oh, the guy just pulls over and goes, that's it.
Was there an age divide with this scenario or a cultural divide with this scenario?
Both. It's an older Indian-looking gentleman and Adrian Brown.
I understand.
His crew.
I understand. And now he can go to Lyft, Preacher Man.
Yeah,
I guess
Lyft
so.
Apparently
he
still
can go
available.
To Lyft.
And
yeah.
Lyft will take his, they'll take his money.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still got a 5-star rating.
I don't think he has a rating anymore.
I've been in the car with Tricky Ricky before, and despite what he says, when this comes on, he jams. You got to keep talking
about that. Just yell right in your face about that. Yeah. Take me to the danger zone.
Rick doesn't want you. Like, when you're an Uber driver and Rick's in the back seat, it is the danger zone.
And he just, y'all, shut up. Feel it.
All of a sudden, his mullet wig comes out of nowhere. He just puts that on, puts a winger t-shirt on, and a jean jacket.
Takes his shirt off, wants to go play volleyball.
Winger. Oh, winger.
Very, very overrated movie.
If you go back and watch it now.
Sucks.
Wait till the next one comes out.
No, thanks.
Are they doing a remake of it?
No, they're making two.
They're making two.
They're making Top Gun 2. Not a remake.
Aha.
The sequel.
Aha.
Is Tom Cruise like 60? That ought to work.
Is Val Kilmer still with us, by the way?
Yes, he's in it.
Okay.
And he's in it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was the love interest in that movie?
Kelly McGillis.
Is she still around?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way,
what's she looking like today?
She didn't age well.
Over it. I never thought she was hot back
well
in the
either.
Day.
Is it going to be like their kids or pilots now? Like
no, he's going to be more like Tom Skerritt's character, where he's like, you know.
So it's a new crop of young hot shots.
That's what I'm getting.
Let me
I'm
show
guessing.
You how we did in my day, kid.
Yeah. And they'll be buff, M.O.
Probably shirtless for all you ladies out there that want to watch this kind of stuff.
I'm not mad at them.
All right, college football and WWE will overlap Saturday at ESPN's College Game Day when star wrestler
Roman Reigns
will serve as the guest picker for week three.
Don't sell Roman Reigns short. Universal champion Brock Lesnar slaying former Georgia Tech playing.
Well, I was going to get
Roman
to the Georgia
Reigns.
Tech part, okay. But that other stuff's not in the article.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it just says, you know, that he's not just a star, but, you know, former defensive tackle for Georgia Tech, and before the season, he visited the Yellow Jackets to help them unveil their new uniforms.
I'm wondering, though.
Which are super boring.
Normally, they try to make the guest picker somewhat related to the game that's being played. I know last week it was a Make-A-Wish kid. It was actually really cool to give him that opportunity to make the pick. Roman Reigns has no ties to TCU, no ties to Ohio State. I guess it was just, we're tired of having the same Ohio State folks up here, and TCU doesn't have many alumni. Let's just go ahead and shove Roman Reigns in there. I'm cool with that.
What they said was, hey, Kirk. Oh, Kirk, no. We understand you're just a shameless OSU homer, okay? We get that, Kirk. Just stand down. Roman Reigns is going to take this for you. Kirk Herbstreit.
Who on that set would you like to see Roman Reigns spear off the set?
Corso.
Why? What do you want to do? Lee Corso's an old man.
Yeah, but it'd be funny.
No one.
And he'd probably be the only one willing to do it.
Paul.
I'm gonna say no one.
Paul Feinbaum gets on that set every now and then. If Reigns could just drill him in one of the ears and spin him around like a top.
Like, I like their talent. I do. I like their talent. Look, Herb Street, I got respect for him. Just the Ohio State, and I get it, he went there. But just, dude, is he the number one college football analyst? Number one, top of the heap, right?
Yeah.
He does the biggest game.
Yeah.
So you can't be biased, in my opinion, if you are that guy. If you're Marcus Spears, who's really high up but not the main guy, mm-hmm. you can have a little bit of a bias, and it's cute and it's fun and you're still a fan, but not when you're way up there. Like, he's at like the president level of analysis. Don't be a homer.
Game days in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio later that night are on Sundays having Hell in the Cell pay-per-view.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there it is.
Okay.
There's a WWE pay-per-view on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, there is a pay-per-view. Can't wait.
Hey, watching there's your connection.
Cell. There you go. All right. You ever want to wrestle somebody in a Hell in a Cell?
No. Who did they script to win this week?
Next question, Paul.
The scripted, Rick. It's predetermined.
Preacher man, what did the screenplay say about who's going
to
win this week?
It's not scripted. Real to me, damn it.
Roman Reigns is your champ. Have some respect.
Next question. All right. Steven Strasburg threw 7 innings and had 9 strikeouts in Wednesday's win over the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
However, when Jorge Alfaro came up in the 5th inning, Strasburg's 92-mile-an-hour fastball rode inside, struck the Phillies catcher, but then it ricocheted, caught Matt Wieters and umpire Hunter Wenselstead. It was a 1-for-3.
Rick, have you seen this? He drills the batter. It ricochets off the batter, hits the catcher, ricochets off the catcher, and hits the umpire.
That's fantastic.
He is throwing gas, which somebody dropped him in our fantasy baseball league. Thank you. I appreciated that. Preacher man, it can't be as blatant as yesterday, can it?
No. Today's research material is Modelo's.co. Modelo's.co.
Modelo's.
Great beer, by the way.
.co. I got a feeling I know where this one's going. Kind of like the Tecate girl.
Okay, we've watched a ton of baseball, right?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen 3 guys get hit with one pitch. In my life.
It was like a game of Plinko. Like the old, what was that, Price is Right? We're going to play Plinko, and you try to get it in the $10,000 box. Hey, join 92.9 The Game and celebrate the return of Falcons football today at the Falcons Friday kickoff rally. It's free and open to all the fans. The party begins at 7:30 at Atlantic Station. More info on the event page at 92.9thegame.com.